and curse and shame. Glory to the bleeding Lamb, and I am saved through Jesus' name. Glory to the bleeding Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb. I love the Son of Jesus' name. It sets my spirit all in a flame. Glory to the bleeding Lamb. I know my sins are all forgiven. Glory to the bleeding Lamb. And I am on my way to heaven. Glory to the bleeding Lamb. The Lamb, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb. I love the sound of Jesus' name. It sets my spirit all in a flame. Glory to the bleeding Lamb. And when the storms of life are o'er, glory to the bleeding Lamb. I'll sing upon a happier shore. Glory to the bleeding Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb. I love the sound of Jesus' name. It sets my spirit all in a flame. Glory to the bleeding Lamb. And this my ceaseless song shall be. Glory to the bleeding Lamb, that Jesus tasted death for me. Glory to the bleeding Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb. I love the sound of Jesus' name. It sets my spirit all in a flame. Glory to the bleeding Lamb.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Lord bless each one. We're few in number tonight, but God bless those that came this evening. We just thank the Lord for his mercy and for his grace. A strange week, I can tell you. It's been a really strange week. And, you know, the fellow I worked for during the day said yesterday, we'll not take all the vans to the job, travel in one van. So I parked the van this morning in Banbridge at 6:15 and got a lift to Newton Ards. And then coming back home tonight, and we come near the halfway house, we're coming along the road and we're flying along trying to get home. And this thing just come right across the motorway. It looked to me like it was one of them big beach balls. We didn't really know what it was. But it hit the van. And I'm telling you, it hit it some smack. And we immediately, the tire was blew out. We had to pull in. And we didn't know what it was. The thump of it and the bang of it. Young William was sleeping in the back. It soon awakened him. And we still didn't know what it was. We were only guessing. And then I noticed the traffic on the far side had all stopped, and the next thing, the ambulance, police, the fire, everything. And we're sitting there ringing to try and get somebody to come and look at the van. And the fella driving the van decided to walk down the road to see what actually did hit us. And when he went down the road, it was an alloy wheel. And when he got down the road and he looked across, there was two cars had crashed. And went into a garden just near the halfway house. And the wheel had come right off one, went right out across the road and hit our van. We thought nothing of it really, but you know, when it's coming along the road and it's thinking, it's great to be saved. If the wheel had gave a skip, it could have come straight in the wind there, anyhow. And the wheel was travelling, and we were travelling. And we must have been doing 65 mile an hour at least. And I don't know what speed the wheel was doing, but the two collided. We couldn't move. There was traffic coming up. I thought maybe something had fell off a lorry. We didn't realise it was a crash. So we just hope nobody else has been injured in the crash this evening. I don't know. I hadn't got time to read anything. You might see it later on in the news, but I just thank the Lord for his mercy and for his grace. It's blocked, the road's blocked, so I'm not sure still what's happened with the van. A1 tire was coming, the tire was sliced in the front, the wing was hanging down, the bumper was hanging down a bit on her, and she's dinged a bit, so maybe if we get the tire on, they can drive it. We had a ring Sharon to come and lift us, and he was waiting for A1 tires to come. So one thing after another. Praise the Lord. But I'm glad I'm here. You glad you're here? Yeah. Praise God. And our brother Gary's very sick. He's very ill. There's been an outbreak going around. A lot of people's had it. And it's been going around. And brother Gary's not here tonight. So just let's turn to the Word of God tonight. We're looking again at the book of Samuel. And when we started to preach from this book of Samuel, there's been some happenings. I tell you. But praise God anyhow. I want to read from chapter 25 tonight. And I want to talk a wee bit about David and Abigail. And I won't try and hold you too long because there's not many tonight. But the Lord bless those that's here. And maybe some people that will listen in later and hear the message. Let me read from verse 2. Verse 1 is about Samuel dies. And let's pick up from verse 2 of chapter 25. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding on a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name, and thus shall ye say to him that lived in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now the shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee whither. Wherefore let the young men find favour in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all these sayings. And David said unto his young men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them and when we were in the fields. And you can read on right through, and we'll pick up again here at verse 20. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold,
David, verse 21. And his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all this fallow hath in the wilderness, and so nothing was missed, all of that pertaineth unto him, and hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light, and any that pisseth again the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lightened up the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground. Let's just pray, and you can read through this while I'm speaking this evening. Praise God. If you have a need, just lift your hand before the Lord tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. And surely, Lord, we can say the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We pray you'll forgive us for every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us. Wash us afresh through the blood of the Lamb and all that's in this house tonight. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will help us tonight and take up your word and speak to us, Lord Jesus. And though there might not be many of us, you promised for two or three are gathered in your name that you will be in the midst and that to bless us. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I pray especially for the hands that's raised that you'll meet every single need in Jesus Christ's name, and that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. Pray again for Brother Gary and his family tonight. Strengthen them, bless them, touch them, and heal them in Jesus Christ's name. For Brother Nigel, his wife, and all the family circle at this time of bereavement, may you bless them and strengthen them and be with them, everyone. Just grant your comfort and your guidance. And for all the widows in the house, Lord, we pray for your blessing and strength in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Father, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for your mercy. Even this accident tonight, I pray that none will, that Lord, that everything be all right and all be well in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, when I started studying this and I realized and reading this scripture, I heard a man preach on this years and years ago. And when he read verse 23, I thought his hearing things, the way it read out. And I remembered it. And I don't remember all he preached, but it's such a wonderful scripture. But I sort of want to take David and Abigail tonight. And I will mention also Nabal. But basically, David and Abigail. Let's read verse 36 as well, just. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. I tell you, when you work against the Lord's anointed, it never goes good. Sure it doesn't. Praise God. We believe every scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 tells us that. And I want to look at these tonight, and it's applicable for reproof, for doctrine. And when we look through this chapter, there's three things in this chapter prominent in the persons mentioned really in this chapter as David, Nabal, and Abigail. And David, like the Lord's anointed, represents Christ's claims upon men, and Nabal in his pride and foolishness is a fit type of the Christ rejecter, or someone in the world that rejects the Lord. That's what we're typing Nabal as tonight. And Abigail is a beautiful example of those who believe in obedience to the deeper and truer instructions of the Lord. So there's a Nabal that couldn't do it, and he didn't want to do it. And there's an Abigail that did do it, and she humbled herself to do it. Now I know I'm jumping the gun a bit, and I'll come back a bit. But I want us to note, first of all, the request of David. And David hears, watch this man's sheep and this man's great riches. He's a wealthy man, and he doesn't want to give David nothing. And verse 8 says, give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh into thine hand. And the reason for it, David and his men had been, you know, a wall of protection on the Nabal and a wall of protection on the Nabal's herdmen and Nabal's sheep, both the night and the day. Verse 16, you read that. And while they were keeping their sheep among the hills of Carmel, and in the presence, you know, that they'd been saved from the murders, from the thievish bands, nobody was able to take anything because David's men had protected it. David's men had looked after it. And therefore, this request was a reasonable request. David was only looking that someone would be given to his men, but Nabal was too greedy to do that, wasn't it? He didn't want to do it. And surely he ought to have saved, you know, if he'd just given him something, that would have been all there was to it, but he couldn't do that. Now, I also want you to see the manner of this whole situation in verse 5. These 10 young men. And it's really amazing that it's 10 young men, and they're like the ambassadors of Christ who were sent out in the name of the Lord and their master, these 10 young men. And to despise them was to despise him who sent them. And Nabal despised these 10 young men, and David despised Nabal. And when we look at Luke 10, 16, it says this: he that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. So when the Lord's servant is sent and he's despised, it's just the same as despising the Lord. You know, there's a scripture when the disciples were on earth and that Jesus told them, if you're not received in a town or a city, shake the dust to your feet. Woe unto that place. Judgment will strike it. And I tell you, when God sends a prophet and God sends a messenger and that messenger's flatly rejected, and the prophet of God in our generation said this, what I'm going to say. He says, you watch it, judgment always follows it. And I tell you, there's so much nonsense about today and so much stuff that's fake. And yet, withal, it's not from the Lord. And when the real thing comes, everybody's against it and they speak against it. And here these young men sent to Nabal and they're sent to watch the sheep and watch his men and keep them safe and everything, and they're rejected. And they're rejected, and it's just like he's rejected David. You know, they came with a message of peace. Verse 6 tells us that. And his peace, like the proclaim, it's the same as proclaimed by the messengers of the gospel, the threefold peace. Peace to thee, peace to thine house, and peace to all that thou hast. And these men had peace because there's peace to them, peace to all they had, and peace to where they were. And the Lord sends us peace through the gospel. Peace to us, peace to our hearts, and peace to where we are. And that only comes through the gospel. But people don't want the gospel today. You see, this suggests the peace of God, the peace of God in the home of the heart, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding, touching all that we have. And that's the peace of God. It's in our heart. And it passeth all understanding. And no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, we can have a peace. And sometimes we don't understand why we have the peace, but there's a peace. It's the peace of God. And you see, truly such a message coming to us as it came to Nabal through the servants of God, appointed king, shall constrain us, you know, that we're thankful and we'll trust him. And David's not just a nobody. David's a king. And these are David's men. And this message has come from King David. And Nabal says, who's Jesse? Who's his son? And who's David? He's nobody. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, the King of all glory. Left the glory and splendor of heaven and above. And the world says, who is he? Well, he's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. And they want to know, who is he? You see, there's a thing about this. You see the foolishness of Nabal here in verse 2. He is described as a man who was very great, but great men are not always wise. And there's a lot of men that's very great, and I know men, and they can be great in natural things, in the worldly things, and they might own a lot of things and might be great in people's eyes, but they're not wise in a lot of other things because they're not serving the Lord. And you tell me a man that can have everything, if he's not serving the Lord, he doesn't know the Lord, he's lost.
And all his greatness one day won't rescue him. It won't climb him to heaven. But I'll tell you, he's lost. And the Bible speaks of a rich man. It's very hard for a rich man to be saved. Now, there is rich men saved, but it's a difficult thing when some people put the love of money before God. You see, the wisdom of a folly of man will become very apparent when he's brought face to face with the claims of God. And I tell you, you'll notice that, man, and they have everything here, and then you put the gospel to them, and they don't want nothing to do with it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, he rejected David's claims. And how many today reject the claims of Christ? Do you really believe in the birth of Jesus Christ? Do you really believe Jesus rose from the dead? This is the things people ask. Do you really believe in the virgin birth? Absolutely. Because we're believers. We are believers. And you see, I want you to see this rejecting, this claims of David. Nabal answered in verse 10. Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? Like Pharaoh, he makes a boast of his ignorance. In Exodus 5 verse 2, Pharaoh did the same thing. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And here Nabal's the same as Pharaoh. You see, a prophet of God said, men die, but spirits live on. And the same spirit that could have been back there is now Nabal. And there is a spirit in the world today. For the Bible says we were all once led by the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the earth that now worketh the children of disobedience. We were all once led by that. But now we're sons and daughters of God, and we're led by the Holy Spirit. And Nabal here's been led by the wrong spirit. And Pharaoh was led by the wrong spirit. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? But I'll tell you, Pharaoh learned who the Lord was, didn't he? When God sent a mighty prophet down by the name of Moses, and Moses stood with a staff before him, and Moses called all them 10 different plagues down. And you know what? One of the last ones was where the water turned into blood. And Moses could throw his rod down and it would become a serpent, and he could take it up again and become a rod. And Jannes and Jambres tried to copy it, and Moses' serpent swallowed their serpent. Their two serpents swallowed them up. God's power is greater than any other power. And every other power comes out from him because he's the ruler and supreme authority of all. You see, Peter as well, you know, before Peter, and that's only an example. We know Peter got converted, but we don't read a Nabal getting converted. We read the opposite, turned to stone. But Peter denied the Lord. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? I know not the man. I know not the man. I tell you, we should never deny the Lord. We should always say, I believe in the Lord. I'm a believer. Never deny it. And when people say, do you believe God sent a message to the 20th century? Absolutely. I'm not going to deny it. I believe the pillar of fire came on the scene. I believe that God supernaturally done something and sent something. And the modern church were flatly rejected it. Judgment always follows it. And you see, these servants of Christ often meet with the same ungracious reception in the presence of the claims of the Lord. Quibbling questions are asked. Do you ever see them on? You want to see some of the questions some of the people asked? These denominational men. And they're sitting back in the big church. And they start to describe it all out. And I'll tell you, it's absolutely false. They're making claims as false. We can't deny the Lord. You see, you know, we're not to argue over the scripture, but we're to believe what we believe. We're to hold to it. Verse 12 says, so they turned back and told David all these things. They turned back and told him. They said, David, we went down, and David told Nabal what you said. And David, Nabal said, who are you? Now you can imagine how David must have felt when Nathan came back and said, David, who are you and who's Jesse? This is the king. And David tells him, get the swords on, and he's going to wipe out every single man that pitches against the wall. There's not one of them going to be left. You see, this living for self-gratification to put down here, verse 36. Nabal made a feast like a king and was drunken. So Nabal had all the stuff. Nabal had more than ever because of David. Because of David's men that blessed him, that kept all he had. Now he's having a feast, but he's no thought of David. He's no thought of David's men. But judgment's coming. Judgment coming. The folly of Nabal is further seen in us making a god of his belly. And I tell you, that's what he done. And seeking honor and praise of the ungodly rather than the Lord's anointed. And he had nothing for David. Not a thing had he for David. He had nothing for the servant of the Lord. It's not like the world. You look at the world tonight. The world will look after their own. They'll raise money to do worldly adventures and worldly things. And you can have servants of God on the party shoes in your feet and they'll not do a thing for it. For the world will look after their own. And the Bible says the children of the world are wiser than the children of light. And I tell you, here's greedy belly. We could call him that, Nabal. He's greedy belly. And you know the Bible talks about the last days. For they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And the Lord came when they never thought about it. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And we're living in them days now. We're living in them days. Where everything's blown up big and all the homosexuality and people's identifying as all types of things. And there's only one thing you need to identify with, that's Jesus Christ. That's it right there, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. You see, there's many modern nobles who think all that's lost or wasted that's given for Christ while they guard themselves with the gluttony and the drunkenness. And I tell you, they're big parties and they're big nights and have no thought of the Lord. And I tell you, we're coming around Christmas and we know it's Christians. We don't believe in Santa Claus. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he wasn't born on the date they give. But we're going to look at it. We're going to worship the Lord. But you think of all the parties and the different stuff and there's none of it for the Lord. It's all for themselves to see who can get drunk and rack about and all the different stuff. And here's Nabal here, he's had a big time. He's having a big time. Now his knees never knocked like the other boy we read about. But God turned him to stone. And he become as cold as you like. That's what God done with him. I'll tell you, isn't God's judgment something else? And the Lord's anointing something else. You can't touch or do nothing to the Lord's anointed or there's big trouble. Nabal was a fool and so is he that layeth up for himself and is not rich toward God. Proverbs 23:21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. And the drowsiness shall clothe a man with ranks. Let me just say this while I'm preaching tonight and I feel led to say it. There's so many modern day so-called Christians and they see nothing wrong with getting drunk. Well, I believe it's not right. I believe it's wrong. And I'm not talking about a little glass of wine or something like that. I'm talking about people that get drunk. And I tell you, I know I preached a service one time in England. And there's two young people came and they're in a message church for years. One, the fella played the piano every week in the church. And they came and got saved. And the pastor was shocked that they came and got saved because he said they were in a message for years. But were they in Christ? That was the question. And they come and get saved and I laid hands on them, prayed for them, and God delivered them. And they went home and had a clean out in their house. And I could tell you a lot more about that, other things that happened there. But I'm not going to do it because there could be people listening in and I don't want to cause no problems. But I'll tell you something, there's a lot of people have a name to live and they're dead. And when we say we have something, we better have it. Amen. And why would a Christian have a desire and a taste for the pubs and the world and all them things when you get born again, you're a new creature? The Lord changes you. I've no desire tonight to sit with the wine bibber and the gluttonous. I want to sit with the Lord and God's people. Luke 12, 20 and 21 says this, "But God said unto him, Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose those things be which thou hast provided? So is it he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now I'll tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ could have been preaching to them here, but Nabal, this is the Lord himself preaching here in Luke 12, verse 20 and 21. And the Lord knows about Nabal, because he knew about it, because he's the Word. And he could be referring back here to Nabal about this rich man that had all, and he had the big party. And God dealt with them. But here's a wee woman, and she's wisdom, and she's called Abigail. And I tell you, I want you to see the wisdom of Abigail. Verse 3, "And she was a woman of good understanding." Good understanding. And I tell you, thank God for good women. There is some good women, you know. And thank God for it. Surely this was a case of being unequally yoked together with unbeliever. And I tell you, the believers, it's not to be unevenly yoked. And here this woman was unevenly yoked. She knew what her husband was, but God was going to separate the whole thing. And I tell you, Abigail's wisdom is self-evident when we consider her attitude toward David. Verse 18 to 23, if you read it while I'm just talking, just to save time. "She made haste. When she heard what Nabal done, she made haste. And she loaded the asses or the camels, whatever, the asses. She loaded them with the things and the food and everything. And she says, let's get down to David to get this thing stopped." She knew there's going to be a riot. And she had the wisdom to try and, you know, she wanted to give David's men the food and the things that her husband should have been doing. He couldn't see his finger in front of him, but she could see it. And I tell you, and fell before David on her face. Now, what do you see here? First thing you see, she yielded herself. She yielded instantly. She made haste to meet all the demands made by David through his servants. And all the demands that David had originally sent out, and all the demands that her husband never met, she meets them. And she doesn't just meet them, she makes haste to meet them. She sends the young man on before her, and she goes on herself quick, and she meets him before he strikes the blow. And there's a war starts. And I tell you, this was to her a work of faith as well as a work of love. She believed in David that the Lord would certainly establish his cause. Verse 28 tells us that. And although she was not the messenger sent by him, verse 25, her good understanding constrained her to yield and to obedience and to his will. And she knew that this was God's appointed king, was not, you know, this man's not to be messed with. Nabal couldn't see it, but she could see it. She could see, this is the Lord's anointed. This man's a king. This man's not to be messed with. We better, you know, bless him. Thank God for her. Amen. You know, she knew there was danger, and here she's trying to delay the danger. And have we so believed and yielded to the claims of Jesus Christ the Lord? Or do we rather make haste and excuses? And there's so many people, you can witness to them, you can tell the gospel to them, but they won't make haste, they'll do nothing about it. They can't see the danger. They're running towards hell. You see, she pleaded earnestly. Pleaded earnestly. She pleaded for a foolish husband who is right in his own eyes. She pleaded for him. She even remarks what he is, that he's mad. Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." And you see, Nabal wasn't hearkening unto anybody's counsel. Nabal was right and everybody else was wrong. But here's a woman of wisdom, and here's a woman of faith. And she knew that Nabal was doing was utter madness, verse 25. And she prayed for herself, verse 28, knowing that the power of life and death was in the hands of David. David could have slew her. David could have had her slain. She knew David had the power of life and death. And Jesus Christ holds the power of life and death tonight. And he can give life or death. You said, how could that be? That Paul said the gospel separates to life or death. That's what the gospel does. And here she knew it. And knowing therefore the tire of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, when we believe in Christ for ourselves and we yield to the Lord, and we truly see, you know, there's the terribleness of the folly of rejecting Christ. We're lost. But thank God, with a grace, and we're constrained with compassion, and we go down and we pray and we ask the Lord to save us and have mercy on us. You see, here's another thing. She testified courageously. I tell you, she testified courageously. Her husband didn't know about this. I'll tell you what, she slipped out and he didn't know about it. He wouldn't have let her go. He would have tried to stop her, I'm telling you. But she went, and she never told him nothing about it. Even when he had his party, she never let on the next morning. And you can read it yourself when you tell him. He wasn't all shook up, but he went to stone. He had some shock, hadn't he? The very thing, you see, he was worried that she had given away some of his stuff. That's the truth. And I tell you, there's people in this world and they're worried about what they have. And they don't part one wee bit of it, but the Lord could take them from it just like clicking your fingers. And they wouldn't have nothing. But I tell you, in the morning when she told Nabal these things, verse 37, he died. He died. And she was wise enough to wait until the wine had gone out of him. She knew the usefulness of the reasoning. You know, there's no point trying to talk to a drunk man. And if any of you have ever had any involvement with a drunk man, I've had over the years, several times, you can't talk to them. There's no talking to them. Now, I know God can sober them. I know of a man years ago, a long time ago, and he went into a Pentecostal meeting and he was full. And he could see him delivered and sobered like clicking your fingers. But I'll tell you, and I'll tell you this, and I'm going to have to close in a moment, and I won't finish it all. But, you know, years ago, and you can read it yourself, one of Jack Coe's meetings when he had the big tent and the sawdust on the floor, there's two drunks come into one of his meetings. The two boys were drunk and they dattered up in the middle of the thing and across the front and they were drunk. And the one looked at the other one and he said, "Here," he says, "I think this thing's at the devil." And the other boy said back to him, he says, "If it is, how come we haven't got it?" Isn't that the truth? I'll tell you, that's the road the devil takes drunk men down, isn't it? Praise God. You see, the night before he could have faced anything under the wine, the Dutch courage to drink. You know, it's true in men of war as well. They used to give them a wee shot before they went up. It'd give them a bit of fire and a bit of courage. A lot of people still do it. The Russians are big for it. They give themselves a hot shot. You know, there's a boat. You ever hear of that boat? She goes through the ice and you could travel on out to Russia or some of them places. And you could jump off or into the ocean. The ocean's froze. You jump in and jump out again. And they give you a shot of vodka before you go in. That's a heart attack waiting to happen. Isn't it? I wouldn't fancy it. But I'll tell you that the drink gives you false courage, doesn't it? But here's the thing about it. I want you, and I'm going to finish this tonight. Here's the thing about it. You see, he needed the drink for the courage. But I'll tell you, a man filled with the Holy Spirit, he has a boldness comes on him. It's superior to drink. I'll tell you that right now. The drink will give you courage, but you'll be damaged to the end of it. But when the Holy Ghost comes on a man, it'll turn him into another person. We've saw that through the study in Samuel, where it's done that before, and it can do it again. Now I haven't time to finish all this tonight, but I'll tell you what. God smote Nabal. And David married Abigail. David married her. And the Bible says she's beautiful to look at. I tell you, Nabal not only lost all that he had, and you can read about all the substance, he lost all that, and he lost a beautiful, wise, lovely woman because of his folly. May the Lord help us to recognize his anointing. And may the Lord help us for our loved ones to come and get saved. Let's come and let's pray the night. Praise God. Keep me in your prayers as well. Praise God. God bless you as we come.